How are you guys doing? Doing good? Yeah. I don't know. Some people are smiling, some people are like straight face. I don't know if I trust you guys. Nothing? So I could stand here and just make it really awkward for a while. All right, there's a couple of laughs. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll dig in. Father God, we come before you right now. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would lead us through the scriptures. And that, Father, that you would open up the areas of our mind and how we process. That, Lord, that you would help us to be able to examine those things and to identify what lines up with your truth and what lines up with this world's philosophy. And that, Lord, that you would help us to overcome, that you'd help us to see the wisdom and that the reality of that your truth sets us free. And so, Father, we want to live in the midst of that. We want to experience what you've created us to be. And so, Lord, we ask for you to guide us in that through the Spirit. And so we give it to you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So just a recap. Some of you guys were not here last week. And last week I spent pretty much the whole time talking about the modern identity and how we look at who we are. And so I just want to kind of give a little quick recap so that we can dig into this a little bit further. And so basically when we talk about our identity and how we think about ourselves, we are talking about answering three questions. And those three questions that we ask ourselves, okay, I'm not moving. There you go. Somebody's got it. Somebody's got the thanks, Philip, you got it. So the three questions, let's pop those up on the screen here. What is my purpose in life? What am I worth, and who gets to say? That's basically how we think about ourselves as far as this is my identity. And so we look at our life and we kind of assess, what am I supposed to be accomplishing? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What would satisfy me? What would bring me to a place of happiness and contentment? And so we seek this area in our life of, what is my purpose? And then we get into this place of, well, what is my worth? And usually our worth is related to that. Are we accomplishing our purpose? If I feel like I'm accomplishing my purpose, I feel like I have value. If I'm not accomplishing my purpose, then I feel I struggle with my value and I struggle with a lot of different things that are going on. And then who gets to say? In other words, who's the person that actually has the influence, whether it's you, somebody outside of you, or somebody even beyond us, that actually gets to say, this is what your purpose is and this is what your value is. And so being able to answer those things is basically where we find the essence of our personal identity, how we think about ourselves and how we live our lives. So traditionally, if you think about it, traditionally the way that people used to think about their identity and many places still around the world, how people think about their identity is they would look out first. They would look at their culture. And they look at their town, their village, their family, and they say, this is my purpose, is to help my family succeed. This is my purpose, is to carry on my job or my father's job and make the business or make the farm progress and take care of those things. So my purpose is taking care of those that are around me that I am connected to. And my worth is on how well I do that. And who gets to say is my community. Those, my family or the people that I grew up around, my village, whatever, they're the ones that would say, yeah, you're doing a good job. This is, you're on the right track because you were the farmer's son and now you're farming and you're taking care of, you're living out your purpose, you're helping our community, you're a worthy person in our sight. And so traditionally, that's how we would look at our identity. But the modern identity, what we're kind of focusing in on in this whole session, and what is really rampant in the Northwest and really my generation on down is we have this modern identity that looks inward first. We look in and we say, what is my inner desires? And whatever I desire, being able to accomplish my inner desires is what's going to bring me happiness. So if I want to succeed in something, if I want to do something, that is my inner desire. And so that's what I want to go accomplish. And so that's my purpose. My purpose is to fulfill my happiness. My purpose is to be true to myself. Not to let anybody dictate who I am, but that I would live out my standards, my values, that I would live out my drive inside of me. And so my worth comes from being able to accomplish those things. If I desire to be a certain individual and be educated where I'm going to go be a doctor, then my drive, that's my desire. And so my worth comes about how close I am to be able to accomplish those things. And so I put my value, my worth, on how well I am able to live out my inner desires and to be true to myself. If I'm not true to myself, then to be honest, I feel bad about myself and I start to crumble underneath that. And so we look inward first, and then who gets to say is ultimately you. Be true to yourself. Don't worry about what other people say. You know, you can do it. It's up to you. We always hear all those speeches at graduation about how your destiny is your own and how you have to accomplish and fulfill these things that are on your heart, that nobody else is going to do that for you. Not to let society or authority tell you who you are. And so we have this modern way of looking at ourselves and figuring out who we are. To live out my desires, my heart, brings me the greatest happiness. That's what we tell ourselves. The problem is we live in a generation that is very fastly, is quickly getting to a place of depression and a place of dissatisfaction and a place where we are swamping ourselves with entertainment in order to medicate the struggles that we have going on inside of our minds and our hearts. There's several problems with this way that we think about ourselves. Because we have been fed this lie for so long that if I just live out my desires, I would be happy. We've fed that we don't question it. We don't question it at all. Matter of fact, what we question is we question how come I'm not happy. We question how come I can't seem to succeed in fulfilling these things. And so we don't question the philosophy of it because it sounds right. It seems like, well, if this is who I am, and sometimes we can even spiritualize it. We can sit there and say, if God has made me this way, then this would be God's will for me to live this way, right? Because he wants me to be happy. And so we even change the way that we look at God, because what we do is when we look inward, we look at our desires of what we're trying to accomplish, and that's my worth. And so we surround ourselves by people on the outside when we look out that are going to cheer us on and say, you can do this. And so we surround ourselves by all those individuals, but anybody who says, hey, that may not be the best road for you, or I don't think you're actually looking at this right, we go, ooh, you're a hater, and I don't want to have anything to do with you. So we're going to put you outside my circle. And we continue to surround ourselves in our circle of people that would cheer us on and say, you can do this. And as we begin to do that, we even do it when we begin to look up. We begin to look at God, our creator, whatever power that is out there, and we look at him and we say, well, this is how they would respond. And we begin to create this God in our own image, because we'd want a God that actually confirms the way that we think. Because we start inward and then go outward and upward. And so we change things around. And so we get to a place, and if you think about it now, what's running rampant in churches is actually this philosophy of changing God into who we want him to be. The way that he would endorse things or not endorse things, or to look at society and say what's right and what's wrong. And matter of fact, we don't want a God at all that would ever judge. Matter of fact, we'll hold on to Jesus because we don't think Jesus judges, because Jesus is full of grace and full of love, right? He's the one holding the lamb, right? So he would never do anything bad. You know, that's the way we look at it, because judgment's bad. And yet the scripture says he is our judge. And the scripture says, by his own words, that we stand condemned already unless we believe in him. So there's some struggles that we have even when we begin to look at Jesus, because if we truly look at who he is, he doesn't stand in the place of fulfilling my desires and confirming me first. And like I say, this idea of how we think and how we process is so wired into us. You think about almost any media advertisement. I don't care if it's running shoes, jackets, cars, travel trip. It's all geared towards your self-fulfillment. You deserve this. You do you. You know, all these slogans that are out there about empowering the individual. And we hear those things and we go, yeah, we like that. We look at the movies and we go, oh, a good movie is about somebody who is in a society that traditionally thinks about who they have to be, and they break those bonds and become who they're supposed to be because they look at their inner desires. And they fulfill their inner desires. And every movie that's like that, we go, man, that's a great movie. And so we've changed this thing and we've adapted it so much inside of ourselves. Now the problem is it's hard for us to stop and actually look at it and go, all right, does it work? Is following my inner desires actually going to bring me happiness? Is it actually going to fulfill my life? Is the philosophy of everybody around me saying, hey, you need to be true to yourself first, is that really working? Because the reality is when we begin to tear this apart, we'll find that it begins to actually isolate. You begin to realize that the people that you surround yourself with actually don't tell you the truth, because politically it's not right to tell you the truth. It's only politically right to actually be tolerant and endorse what you're doing. And so all of a sudden you find that your friendships are shallow, or you look at your spouse and they don't satisfy your inner desires because it's about you, right? And all of a sudden struggles in marriage happen because, guess what? Marriage is not about you, it's about the other person. We look around and as we begin to look at this thing, there's so many different flaws that pop up in it that we're going to deal with. The fact that my desires change. The fact that my desires are actually, they fight against each other. I can't be successful and active in business and at the same time be a family man. It's not going to happen. You can't walk both lines. And so there's just things that go through that tear us apart. And here's one of the ones that we're going to deal with today. This philosophy of looking at ourselves and feeling like my greatest happiness is by looking at my inner desires and achieving that first is probably one of the heaviest loads you'll ever carry in your life. And this is what I mean. If you're not happy, if you haven't succeeded, whose fault is it? It's yours. It's yours. If it all depends on me, and I'm not happy, well then something's wrong with me. And so this is what we do. We approach this in three different ways. One, we look at it and we go, ooh, this isn't working. I'm miserable. I was chasing my own desires. I kind of like sitting around the house and playing video games all day long, and I thought this was great until I realized that I'm numb and I can hardly sleep and I can't do anything and my relationships are falling apart and I'm actually not happy. So maybe I need to reach inside and figure out what my real desires are. So we get down inside and we actually reinvent ourselves. And so we begin to think about, okay, this is what I got to do. I got to dig deeper and change who I am and chase something different. So now I'm going to be dedicated to this thing. I'm going to work really hard, and I'm going to achieve these things, and I'm going to spend my time and make these things happen. And as you're doing all this stuff that you're dedicating and you're sacrificing because you have this goal, and you are now goal-driven, and I'm going to accomplish this stuff, you stop or you reach your goal, and you go, really? Is that who I am? That's just as dissatisfying as the other. Because you get there and you realize there's nothing there. There's no value in it. There's no worth in it. And all of a sudden you have to struggle again. Well, what do I do? And so we go back to this place of looking at it and going, well, you either reinvent yourself, or you look at yourself and say, well, I'm just a loser. I actually just can't make it happen. I have these inner desires I don't want to accomplish, and I'm just not capable. And we get down on ourselves, and we become people that become depressed. We have so many teenagers that are depressed. There's so many girls that cut themselves just to relieve the pain that they're going through. We have so many individuals throughout society. You think about Montana. Montana blows my mind that we are still the capital, number one out of the nations for suicide rate. We look around here and we see all the beauty, all the recreation, all the things that we can do. And if you think about it, we are in the heart of the Northwest, where it is about individualism, and you live out your dreams, your desires, and you accomplish what you want to accomplish. And if you don't accomplish it, it's your fault. And people are hitting that point in life going, I can't do it. I'm a loser. There's something broken in me. Because I can't fulfill these things that are inside of me. Or we turn it around and go, well, it's actually not my problem. It's their problem. Because they won't let me fulfill my dreams. We become victims. Well, it was my parents that did this to me. Well, it was society that's holding me back. Well, it's because of my situations that are going on around me. That's why I can't succeed in these things. That's why I'm not happy in these things. And so we either reinvent ourselves, we identify ourselves as a loser, or we become the victim. That's our three options when it doesn't work out. And the tricky side of it is even when it works out, it's still the options. Because when we begin to reach those things inside of us, when we begin to achieve those things that we have these desires for, we get there and we realize they actually don't satisfy. And then we really struggle with it because we thought that was what it was all about. We had to be able to accomplish these things. I want to read you some verses here. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. See, we look at this and it just makes common sense. Look inside me, figure out what I want to achieve, go for it with all my gusto, and if I'm dedicated to it and I sacrifice enough and I do those things, I will achieve and I will be happy. That doesn't work that way. And yet we keep identifying and say, well, that just makes sense. It's just common sense. That's what society is all about. But you realize that actually that's not common sense. There is a whole world out there and a world before us. I said, no, that doesn't make sense. What makes sense is you self-sacrifice and you give to your community, or you give to your family, and you do what your family needs you to do so your family succeeds, so that there's that you, because you're a part of something. That's common sense. See, however we identify who we are and how we find out who we are, however we grasp that philosophy, to us, that is common sense. And so it is hard for us to stop and look at it and go, well, let me refigure this. And so it seems right to us, and the scripture tells us all along, to men, there's always this way that seems right. But unless we really analyze it and put it up before the God and the way that we are truly designed, it actually is not going to succeed. The problem with our way of thinking about chasing after my inner desires first, because that's going to bring me happiness, is you realize that there is no end to achievement. There is no end to leadership. There is no end to learning. There is no end to seeing. There is no end to gathering. There is no end to doing. I was a driven, goal-oriented individual since day one. I was raised in a family that you go, you do, and you can achieve whatever you want to put your mind to. You go, and this is you. And I went down that journey, and when I was 21, I was leading teenagers overseas, in Australia and New Zealand. By the time that I was 22, I was married. By the time I was 23, I started my own nonprofit organization and started my own ministry, was my own boss. I have done a lot. I have traveled the world. I have written books. I've written a book. You know, I've published games. I've done a lot. I've built my house. I've done a lot. And it seems like every time I get to this final achievement of doing something, there's something else to achieve. There's something else to do. And what's crazy about it is whenever I achieve it, it's not good enough. There's somebody that's always done it better. I get to it, and here's the weirdest part about how I'm wired. Is usually before I even get there, I already have a different desire to accomplish something else. Matter of fact, one of my worst flaws in me is that I am a terrible finisher. I'm doing a strip, boat, the canoe, kayak, things. You guys have seen them. I've got several of them now. I got one more that's in my garage. You realize this last one's taken me 3 years to finish? Because I've already done it. So my mind, because my desires change. There is no end to learning. There is no end to doing. There is no end to achievement. There is no end to seeing. We chase after this stuff thinking it's going to satisfy, and it's not going to satisfy, guys. Some of you are probably saying, well, if you just read Ecclesiastes, you probably would have figured this out. I've read Ecclesiastes, and he says the exact same thing. It doesn't mean I figured it out. Because isn't that common sense? I am supposed to do these things? Isn't that just make me a productive individual? Isn't that how I'm supposed to, go after life? This is the way Paul puts it. Paul in Philippians 4. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, here comes the verse that we all love. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. There it is. Once again, that's the philosophy. If I just buckle down and if I just find that desire and I just do, I can do all things in Christ. Actually, what he's talking about is being content. He's not talking about achieving. He's not talking about having everything. Matter of fact, he's saying, I have learned the secret of whether I have stuff or not, of being content. America does not like the word content. Most of us do not like the word content because it means you're just settling, right? You're just saying, well, it's all good. I really don't care. That's like Paul lost his ambition. Man, if you read the scriptures, Paul never lost his ambition. Matter of fact, the guy's nuts. The guy's constantly going. The guy's like, no, this is what it is. I'm being poured out like a drink offering. I'm going. I've run the race that's set before me. It's like, you think about who God is, Paul is. I've beat myself in order to be able to accomplish these things. I run like a runner, you know, set to make the mark. He has all these things. Paul is a driven individual. But he's learned the secret of being content. See, it's not ambition. And it's not taking ambition saying, I have to make it, like, shove it in this box. And you know what I mean? It's not throwing it away. It's changing it so that we look at it differently. The things that we were created to do, the things that God wants us to step out into and to accomplish and all of them, I think we're supposed to rise to those occasions. To have ambition, some people say that have ambition in Christ is wrong because ambition is self-centered. No, it doesn't have to be self-centered. Matter of fact, 1 Timothy says anybody who desires to be an overseer, in other words, it literally talks about anybody that has the ambition to be able to come and lead the church and guide the church, desires a noble thing because it's all about serving others. See, it's how we wrap it, how we think about it, and how it drives us that begins to change the way that it affects us. To be able to find the secret of being content is to be able to come to a place where it's not where we squish ambition, but we're not resting and trying to find our identity and what we do or have or achieve or see or be. Because when we try to find our identity in that stuff, you'll never be content. You'll never be content. John says it this way. This is John the Baptist. John chapter 3, starting in verse 27. To this John replied, a person can receive only what is given him from heaven. There's a different perspective. A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourself can testify that I've said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. He's talking about Jesus and everybody following after Jesus. John the Baptist, he's baptizing people and he has this crowd of folks that are coming all the way out into the desert to be able to see him and to listen to him. And he is in this place of massive influence. And the whole countryside's coming to be baptized by him. And when Jesus shows up on the scene and people start following Jesus, his disciples are like, ooh, everybody's going over there, John. And John's attitude is like, that's awesome. That's awesome. Because it's not about his glory. It's not about everybody coming to see him or hear him and his achievements. Matter of fact, he looks at it and says, everything I have comes from heaven. Everything I don't have comes from heaven. There is a secret in being content. It's recognizing where it comes from, who actually directs these things, who actually gives us the ability to do things. It's not by some special power that you have other than what you've received from heaven. But then he goes on in the middle of these verses. It talks about who Jesus is and that he actually gets to be full of joy because Jesus is succeeding. He says, this joy is mine. It is now complete. I love this verse, verse 30. He must become greater. I must become less. Would you ever hear that in a graduation ceremony? All right, now that you graduated, you need to become less. No. Would it ever work in a sales pitch? Hey, now that you're here, you know, and we got these, you just need to become less. Be satisfied where you're at. Find contentment. That goes against our whole philosophy of thinking in life. Matter of fact, we can even go to this place where it's like, man, I'm going to do great things for God. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to influence people and I'm going to, you know, do these things in leadership and people just need to hear me speak. I've run into an individual like this. I'm not making this up. And it's just, it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to do great things for God. And it's like, ooh, that's not what it's about. If you are able to accomplish great things for God in that mindset, it's probably not God's kingdom, it's probably yours. See, the reality is it's not about your honor. When we seek our own honor, we get ourselves in trouble. It's about His honor. Jesus puts it this way. Got to hit the right button on my Bible. There it goes. All right. Jesus puts it this way over here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's very different, very opposite of the philosophy that we think we have to have. It is on my shoulders. I have to accomplish this. Matter of fact, if you're not success, I can't, we'll go to a different word. If you're not happy, if you're not happy in whatever it is that God is, you know, or whatever your desires are, then it's your problem. That's what our society would say. That's the common philosophy that we would grasp. Jesus says, no, I'll give you rest because it's not on you to accomplish. Matter of fact, John 10:10 says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And think about that. I am trying to get a life of the full. I'm trying to get my piece of the pie. I'm trying to achieve those things that would make me who I am. And boy, we chase after some of the weirdest stuff. There was a point in my life where I chased after one of the biggest bulls that I could ever find, elk hunting bulls. You know, it's like, if I could just accomplish this and take a monster bull, you know, a good popin' young bull with my bow, then I would be... What would I be? You see how stupid it is even as you say it? But yet, that's our mindset. Most of our cars that we drive, usually are about a statement about who we are. We chase after some of the weirdest things, thinking this is our identity. You know, what I wear makes a statement about who I am. How I talk makes a statement about who I am. What I achieve makes a statement about who I am. Some of the weirdest thoughts, if you think about it. Is it really? You know? Mike, he's not here today. I was hoping he would be here today. But I'm going to talk about Mike anyways, even though he's not here, just to prove him wrong. So, you know, when I first met Mike years ago, He's like this computer guy. He's, you know, he does computer stuff, and he's, you know, like Philip back there. He just sees in computers, and he knows computers. He talks like computers, and he comes in, and I start talking to him, and all of a sudden I find out like he's really into hunting. And I had to take a second look at him and go, dude, you're a computer nerd. What do you mean you're into hunting? It doesn't compute. I've never met a computer nerd that really loves to hunt. why would I even think that way? We are so bred into finding our identity in all these things that we do and try to achieve and how we look and what we say. What a bunch of baloney. And we put such stress on ourselves to be able to accomplish this stuff. See, we look in, try to find those desires. Then we look out and we try to find the people that would cheer us on to fulfill those desires. And anybody that would say otherwise, we push away. And then we look up and we go, okay, this is who God has to be because he wants me to be happy. And since he wants me to be happy, he wants me to fulfill these things. And so I'm going to go after it. And that's how God is. And if God doesn't help me fulfill these things, I might have a beef with God. That's not the way Scripture looks at it. If you go back to the three questions, Scripture looks at these three questions very differently. What is my purpose? What am I worth? And who gets the say? When you begin to look at these three questions through Scripture, it's very, very different. Because Scripture is very clear that my purpose is to glorify God. That is my purpose. I was created in the image of God in order to be his image bearer. I was created in order to worship God and to be able to glorify God and to serve God. I was created with a purpose. I was given a design. There is uniqueness in me. But the crazy thing about this uniqueness that is in me is not for me to dig in and find my satisfaction and my happiness by being unique. It is actually by using my uniqueness in order to glorify God. To use my uniqueness in ways that would bring him pleasure and glory. I think about it here. Psalms 73 says this. Who have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. If I look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, looking down here in verse 31, it says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And this is not the only place it says this. Do it all to the glory of God. But I love this. Think about it. It goes on. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew, Greek, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. See, the Scripture turns it, and it looks at it totally opposite. My purpose is actually to glorify God. I was actually created in order to be able to find my purpose in him, and my worth comes in who he says I am. My worth is in whether I walk in the midst of who he is and whether I am a child of God. When I chase after my own desires and I am my own leader and I am my own master, to be honest, everything's going to fall apart. That's actually what Adam and Eve did. The original sin was, if you eat this apple, you'll become like God. And that's what we do. I'm going to take the place of God. I'm going to fulfill my desires. I'm going to fulfill my things. I'm going to chase after. I am the master of my destiny. I'm in control. I was created. And I was created with a purpose. And my worth comes so much so that he loved me so much, even while I was a sinner, even while I was his enemy, he died for me. If I would just turn and believe, receive him as my Lord and Savior. We say those things, but we don't even recognize what that means, that he is my Lord and Savior. Lord, he is in charge. He is the master. He is the commander. He is the principal. He is the purpose. He is my life. He is the goal. Not my desires. not my identity. My identity comes from Him. He gives me my worth, and He is the one who has to say. But that's what I like about these scriptures, because what's really cool about it says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And then he goes on and he says, hey, and when it comes to other people, you need to live in a way that you don't cause them to stumble. You need to live in a way that you help them succeed. See, it's so backwards compared to our society now. Look in, look out, look up. He's saying, no, you look up. Then you look out. And then you recognize the uniqueness in you, that you've been created to glorify God, to help others. And when you begin to live in that life, you will find satisfaction. You will come to a place of fulfillment. You will find the meaning of contentment. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I've read these verses to you guys 100 times. I love these verses. But think about it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, the way you live, how you think, how you process, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, not for my pleasure, but for God's pleasure. The sacrifice means to die, to kill, to crucify. I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless, I live. I live with Him. To be able to look at myself and say, I do not want to be first. I want to follow Christ. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is how we glorify God. How I live is how I glorify God. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Being able to stop and think about how this world thinks and how we process our identity is partly stopping how we conform to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. He came to give me life and life more abundantly. He came, His yoke to live underneath His identity actually is easy. You know what? Because unlike this one, where if I'm not happy, it's my fault. If I haven't succeeded, this huge pressure on me to be able to accomplish, to be able to identify myself, to be able to know what it is that I even want to do in life, this huge pressure that's on me, if I give that over to God, His yoke is light. Because you know what? It's not about what I accomplish. It's about what He already accomplished for me. It's not about what I achieve. Guys, I've done a lot of things in my life. So what? Honesty, who cares? When I go, nobody's going to remember any of it. Heck, I don't even remember half of it. It's not a big deal. So what? It comes and goes. It's not my identity. It's not who I am. Because you guys that went through junior high, tell me, was there not a phase that you like dressed a certain way or wore your hair in a certain way? Did you guys ever do anything that's totally different to who you are now? Junior high, high school? Yeah. Tom, what was it? You wore a dress in junior high? I don't want to hear that. Okay, we're going to move on. The way you dressed. Yeah, you bet. There you go. Okay, I'll go with that. What about you, Tom? Yeah. You had leopard hair. Yeah, it was a punker over here. That's right. That's awesome. Yeah, you know? I remember one stage I was a cowboy boots, you know, and the jean jacket, you know, with the fuzzies inside. And then I think the next year I went GQ. It was like, you know, the sweaters and so forth. And I think the following year I went with, you know, the whole, you know, long hair in the back, short in front, you know, and that was like in 3 consecutive years. You see what I'm saying? How stupid. We're chasing after all this stuff to go, this is who I am. To find our people. God is a diverse God, and He has made us all unique, and uniqueness is not bad. Matter of fact, uniqueness glorifies Him. But when we take our uniqueness and think it's our identity, we get it messed up. But when we surrender to His will and who He's called us to be, when we find ourselves in Him, there is room for all of us at the cross. And there is a place for all of us to be unique at the cross, because it glorifies Him, and that is our purpose. And when you begin to live your life on mission, when you begin to live your life in a place where it's like, no, I want to be surrendered to You, God, and what You're doing, and you begin to see a holy Creator move and do things around you, and you go, well, that was wild, because there's no way that could have happened except for God doing that. It'll bring such peace and satisfaction into your life. Stop wrestling with that identity. This is what I got to be. This is what I got to achieve. How come I'm not happy yet? To be able to come to a place and go, You've already achieved it for me. You came to give me life and life more abundantly. He wants our joy to be fulfilled and to be full. He wants us to be able to find a place of contentment. And that's not just being satisfied where it's like, I have no ambition, but it's being able to have ambition, but be at the place where it doesn't identify who I am. To find purpose. Father God, we come before You right now. Lord, we ask that You would work in our hearts and our mind. These things have been so ingrained in us. Lord, I am speaking of myself. Lord, in so many ways, I have taken the philosophy of this world and I have twisted it and warped it through Scripture in order to justify who I am. And so, Father God, I ask that You would help us. Help me to be able to weed out these things. To weed out these half-truths that would come in and rob us of what it is that You want. Father God, You called us and you have said that we are more than conquerors. Lord, that nothing can separate us from Your love. And so, Lord, we fall at Your feet and we ask that You would work in our heart, that You would help us, help our kids, not to try to find identity in their hidden drives inside them and their hidden desires. Because, Father, we just see destruction all around us because of that. But help us, Father. Help us to truly identify that we are Your children. Help us to rejoice that we are Your children. Help us to rejoice in the fact that we are Yours, that You are the one who gives us purpose, and You are the one who declares us so worthy, which is mind-blowing. Because of what Your Son has done. Lord, we want You to have the say, and not this world. So we give it all to You in Jesus' name. Amen.